Hi, Peter.
Well, hi, Brian, and welcome back.
Thank you so much. I've made my way back. We've made our way back together. That Emily Saul episode where she looks deep into your running soul is doing great, and we let it breathe for a while. We wanted to let more people listen to it. But we're back with a new episode, and I have things to ask you, Peter.
I know you do.
Yeah.
But you just wait a minute.
Over here?
Because so much of the last episode was about me. Don't worry so much about me right this second. We'll get to me.
I'm always worried about you.
How about, hey, Brian.
Yes, sir.
How was your ultra marathon the other day?
Oh, that.
That.
It was wonderful.
Okay, huge kudos, man.
Thank you.
You completed it.
I wish I was more effusive and effervescent.
It's been a few days. You've come off your high.
Yeah, it was very hard, and it was long, but I had some issues that I had to deal with. They were physical and everything else, and I can't say I raced it. That's what I'm saying.
But by design, they're giant. Tremendous.
Right, yes. And the amazing thing about it was that I have some audio from three other people that ran the race with me. And we all kind of went through the exact same experience. And so I want to get your take on that. Because listening to it, even though I was about an hour slower than all of them, or maybe thereabouts, through different parts of the event, all of us, regardless of our pace, of our preparation, of anything, we all went through the same highs and lows.
Literally?
Yeah.
And figuratively.
And I think that's what running these long distances is sort of all about.
I think it is
a challenge.
It's a journey into you, Brian.
It certainly was. You don't know what's going to happen except things that you don't expect are going to happen.
All right, wait. Set the stage. You're in what state?
So we're in Maine. We're in New Gloucester, Maine, which is sort of west of both Portland and Freeport, if you know that area.
Okay.
A couple hours north of Boston.
Okay.
It is a rural setting. I don't know how many acres. Many acres, probably.
This was on a farm?
50 or 100 acres. Yeah, it's called Pineland Farms. And it's a big cross-country skiing area, I guess, in the wintertime.
Okay.
And so there's two sections of the course, essentially, or two different types of running styles. There's basically fire roads, which is a road big enough for one, maybe one and a half cars to go down, dirt road, very clean.
Yeah.
Very few ruts, very few. Now, when I say rut, I mean R-U-T. There's also very few ruts, meaning roots, as some people pronounce
them.
Wow. Yeah. No ruts. No stones. So it's easy going in terms of that. However, it's not easy going because it's rolling hills. And I had been prepared for rolling hills.
Sure, you've been working that.
But some of this was like, oh, yeah, it's a rolling hill, but they don't stop. There's no flatness.
And this was
up and down. And
this was the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend.
So hold on, I have to give you the... And that was shaded. That was in the woods.
The hills.
The other half of the course,
yes,
was completely exposed out
wide open
in the fields.
Oh,
and tall grass. The amount of green, my eyes couldn't even take
you,
in
you
the amount of green.
You stopped seeing the color green.
It was that's all I could see. Green and blue sky. I mean, beautiful, beautiful fields, and rolling, of course. And that terrain was more like tractor tracks that you were following.
A little muddy?
And it had been muddy, so you're on uneven ground to start, and it's matted down grass if you're not in the track, and then areas of mud that could get very deep. So you had
no stones, pretty clean.
You had to navigate around them. Yeah, really no stones. There were a few tripping hazards, to tell you the truth, except your own feet.
Of course.
And the reason that I said it's wide open, you're out in the fields, not a big deal unless it completely unpredictably becomes 80 degrees in high humidity at, 8 o'clock in the morning when the race started.
But that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what
happened. Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah, what was supposed to happen was it was supposed to be like low 50s or 60s, clouds
misty,
burn.
Cool.
Well, yeah. Clouds burn off around noontime.
Sure, you'll be
we
done.
We finish the race in the sun.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yep, no, clouds burn off at 7:30.
Hot.
And it's, of course, none of us have run in the heat yet.
It's okay, though, because you fueled right and you drank enough water, so you're going to be great.
Not even. It's all I thought about for 3 days. And I thought I did, but as a result, as I found out later, when I stopped sweating and had no energy 20 miles in.
We're going to get into the stop sweating thing. That's too big a thing. That's
terrifying.
Hold on. What is this audio we're going to listen
okay.
to?
Okay. So there were a good handful of November Project people up there. There was a lot of chatter about it, and this is why I went. Some people were up there just to cheer.
Sure.
So we had a tent and music and chairs and stuff, and if you wanted to, you know, switch shirts or something like that, you could do that halfway through.
Festival.
Festival. You came through the start-finish line a couple of times. So we ran with Corinne Griffiths, the running unicorn, and a handful of other people. Andrea and some other folks did the 25K.
Congratulations, Andrea.
I did the 50K, of course. But what we're going to hear are friend of the show, Natasha Walth, who I already talked to after that Vermont Killington race last year. She did a post race recording.
Okay.
So we're going to hear that. That'll be the first voice we hear.
Okay.
The second voice we hear
is
Riley, who was good enough to actually make recordings during the race.
In action.
In action.
Wow.
So that'll be the second. And the third voice you hear is Dan, who I interviewed just a few days after the race in an unfortunately somewhat noisy restaurant, which quiets down later on. So just know those are the three voices. And what we've done is interwoven them.
Yes.
Into a tapestry, sort of beginning of the race to the end of the race.
Oh.
So just imagine that. So cast your mind into this rural 50K, 6, 7, 8 hour plus slog.
Hot day.
Unexpectedly hot day.
I want to take that in now.
We all survived. We all finished.
No one got hurt.
No one got permanently injured.
Okay.
And I think we all enjoyed the experience after some time of reflection.
Play this for me if you would.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, how was your run today? This is Natasha sending you a message from up in New Gloucester, Maine.
Hi, Brian. Walking over the starting line right now. I feel a lot of things. I had some pancakes this morning, though, so off to a good start. Yeah, let's go get this.
It was gorgeous. The trails were rolling hills, bright green trees. It was perfect, with the exception that it was 70 plus degrees. It has rained recently, so there was lots of mud, and with that heat and the mud, and when you went into open fields, you felt like you were somewhat running in a swamp.
So we took our left and we went out into the fields, which they said were going to be a little damp. That was a lie. They were extremely wet. I'm sure you experienced the same thing. I was sinking in mud, like, up past the tops of my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So every step, it took extra effort to just pick up your leg afterwards. I still managed to run through that section of the course at about a 10-minute pace. Later, I would learn that that would probably be one of the bigger mistakes I made, because once I got through that section and back into the woods, into some shade, my muscles were completely shot.
There were a lot of slow miles, just trying to get through, and it was absolutely the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
At one point in time, I was looking for an aid station around like 8.5, and it showed up at 7, and then the next one was at like 9, so ballpark-ish, we were close, but that's when it started to become evident of we're probably not on the course correctly, or they measured it completely wrong.
Hey, Brian. 5.6 miles in, We were just informed that course is marked wrong, so everyone's going the wrong way. Just passed by the 11.6 mile aid station. About 6 miles early. Off to a good start.
So I was a little confused at what was exactly going on, but my pace was really good, and I was right where I needed to be, so I just swapped everything out, didn't think second of it, and kept going.
Hey, Brian. I'm at 11.1. Still moving. It's getting pretty hot out here. Course is still marked wrong. So, that's the thing. But, just opened my phone, had a text from the one and only, Emily Saul.
Emily Saul of the November Project.
I'll check in a bit. Hope you're doing great out there.
I knew I was off course. I assumed they would adjust the course as needed. So when I got to that turn, one of the guys told me that we were off course and that we would be adjusted as we ran. I was like, okay.
Hey, Brian. At 15.4 right now. Supposed to be at 21. 50K is going to end at about 25 miles. That's it.
So I actually saw you at, it was like 18, 19 miles, mm-hmm. something like that. I remember the high five we gave each other as one of the last moments of me feeling good in that race. So like right up to that point, the way I look at it is I ran an absolutely beautiful 30K. Right at 30K, I was at 3 hours. I was at the perfect spot, exactly where I needed to be. My pace started to drop a lot. I'm pretty sure I started getting pretty dehydrated at that point. I was still trying to keep eating, keep taking water in, and every hour I would take a salt pill. I dropped to about a 10:30, 11 minute pace and just tried to keep moving. At that point, I was almost accepting the fact that like I'm not going to make my 5 hour mark, not with how nasty this course is getting.
Looking back over the race, you know, the first 18 miles were actually perfection. I felt strong. I was elated about how far I was already in the race. And then I would hit the little over 18 miles at an aid station. I looked up at the sign and it said that I was actually only at 23 kilometers, which conversion's sake, that would be less than 15 miles. And my mind just dropped. My heart sank. It threw me for the biggest loop. And so for next few miles, I didn't know what to think. I was in a completely different mental state just from that sign. And it stuck with me up until the next aid station where I heard another runner discussing it. And it was actually an incorrect sign. So my mileage was correct. Got myself pumped up a little bit. Grabbed a little sip of Mountain Dew at the aid station, which I never do. And started cruising along again.
Just looking like an absolute wreck. I couldn't hold down food anymore. Well, I didn't vomit or anything like that. I was just nauseous. So, like, the appeal of food just didn't work. I was just trying to put down the coldest water I could find. At one point, I was chewing on ice cubes and Coke. So that helped. The caffeine and sugar boost helped from time to time.
But then I hit another dark place. That distance and then that heat, it was just exhausting. And there got to be a point where my legs did not want to function. I was actually caught speaking out loud to my legs, coaxing them and trying to convince them to start moving. I even did a 60-second countdown and told my legs, I was like, all right, in 60 seconds, we're going to start moving again. They did not listen. So there was a lot of fast walking. From mile 18 on, you know, it was pretty amazing because as soon as you stop moving like that and you realize that it's taking you so much longer to move 1 mile, which means that you're going to be out on the course for even more time and the heat is just getting stronger and it's just all these negatives hitting against you, it's pretty amazing to see how our minds control us. But at the same time, I was able to finally push out of my mind and embrace the suck. You know, you don't go out for a long race like this and not expect it to hurt. And so being able to embrace it and then realizing at a certain moment that as soon as I passed a certain distance, I was running the furthest I would ever run. And I haven't had a feat like that since my very first marathon training, or I guess my first marathon. So getting to that point was huge.
One of the workers for the course, one of the volunteers, came up and asked me what my distance was. I said 26.7. He circled my bib and then said, "You need to go this way." And I didn't think anything of it. And the biggest thing that I didn't want to do is because he was sending me back out on the course where it was about 4 miles of straight mud and hills. And that's what I didn't want to do because I was having a tough time just moving consistently at this point. And he put us back out on the hottest part of the course, the worst part of the course.
Hey, Brian. At mile 20, just talked to a race person and they're redirecting the end of the race for the 50Kers to make up for the lost mileage. It's extremely hot. Not doing so great.
My goal at that point was like, I need to finish this race in 6 hours. That was the mental note I had made to myself. I did make it to 31.2 at 6 hours, but that was also when it came extremely evident that we were going to have to run farther because we were still out in the middle of the woods at 31.2. At that point, I'd lost the ability to run uphill. I was hiking everything. I could jog a downhill. I could jog a flat. I did a lot of power hiking. It was basically just Tom and Jack hanging out with me to make sure that I kept moving. Movement was difficult, and I would say less accurate. It wasn't as precise. So I kept telling them, I was like, I don't care if you run in front of me or if you run behind me, but please don't run right next to me. Because I kept having the fear of like tripping or falling over and falling into one of them and injuring both of us. I don't know why that was just so evident in the back of my mind of like, they just can't be right next to me. It was almost like I was claustrophobic.
But then unfortunately there was some human error involved at the one of the last few aid stations. There was confusion on the actual course, and so the aid station individuals were sending some people one way, other people other ways. That was rough because I absolutely did not want to run further than I was supposed to. And heading out based on advice from the aid station worker was very scary because I didn't know if that meant I was going to be out there longer. I didn't know if, like, how far I would loop around. At that point, I was just physically ready to be done. So I'm going to send out my apologies to the aid station worker who I had some harsh words with on my turnaround.
I did not have any humor left. My personality had become extremely aggressive, borderline violent. And I was just trying to move one foot in front of the other. We hit 32 miles. Still not there. We hit 33. Great, we're going uphill again. We ran into a couple people that were just kind of slogging through everything like we were. And they're just like, yeah, we're just getting more miles for our dollar, which is not the way I looked at it at all. But yeah, I mostly walked the last 3 miles of the course just for the sake of I just didn't have anything left.
Hey, Brian. Just hit 26.2. Clouded over and it's kind of drizzling. Feels amazing. Haven't been able to eat anything since mile 10. Sort of working on Gatorade right now. Really craving a Burger King vanilla milkshake.
the last 5 miles of the course, it was, I just need to finish this race. Time doesn't matter anymore. We're off course. The conditions are pretty terrible, but I just wanted to finish. So I knew once I saw that, that I was going to finish. I could hug everyone that was there, and that I didn't pass out and get left out on the course.
Me again. So I just started the additional loop for the quote-unquote off-course 50Kers. I'm at 27 right now, and they just informed us that they never another 7 miles, turning this 31-mile race into a 34-mile race.
I finished the race. I didn't want to go any further. I was very happy with the distance I ran, realizing I have a long ways to go to build up to a 50-miler. But I'm so proud of my accomplishment today. I'm so proud of my friends who were out there. Brian, you killed it. Everyone else, you're rock stars out there. It was so fun to experience the race today with several friends who it was their first 50K as well. So we all did it together. We all made it. Some ran further than others, but we all found our way to the finish line and were able to celebrate together today. So amazing day. I'm exhausted. I'm sore. I'm so excited to be in bed by 8 p.m. and I look forward to seeing what the next adventure will be.
I need a run.
10 cc's of running stat.
With my background in medicine, I know that when you exert yourself to that point and you immediately stop moving, or like a lot of people sit down, you get a lot of blood pooling in your legs, which results in you fainting or blacking out, passing out, whatever you want to say. I thought my best option was to keep walking, find the medical tent, and sit down in there. So I walked straight into the medical tent, which that I've kind of kick out of it. The EMTs found that alarming, that I just walked into the medical tent without saying anything and sat down. So they asked me why I was there and if I could tell them my name and my birth date and things like that. And I told them that I just felt this was precautionary because I tried to pass out earlier. So if I was going to do it, I wanted to pass out in the medical tent so no one had to pick me up and carry me. Apparently my blood pressure was low enough at that point that they couldn't find it accurately. A very concerned Riley made her way into the tent because she had finished 15 minutes before I did. Because she was smart, she cut her last loop short, so she only ran 32 miles. Only. Like, that's a small accomplishment. So she ran her 32 miles and was concerned when she finished because I wasn't there. And then I did finish, and then I disappeared. So we hung out in the medical tent for a little while, and when I felt that I could start to walk again, I asked the EMTs if I could leave, and they said, yeah, if you feel good about it, go for it. One EMT's advice was to keep consuming calories, liquid or solid. And I gave her a confused look, and she's like, I can't tell you to drink beer, but it's easy to go down. It'll probably make your body hurt less, and it's calories.
I already knew that lesson. I didn't need anybody to tell me.
Okay.
I am exhausted, elated, flying high, super pumped about today. It's interesting. I feel like this comes full circle sharing this with you since last fall, I first announced that I decided I want to start running long. And here I am a few months later, now officially an ultra runner. Spent 6 hours, 18 minutes, and 40 odd seconds out on the course today.
Once everybody in our group started gathering after they had finished and I finally came across the line, we started talking about our race. What did you get out of that conversation?
All I gathered is that everybody had to go through the same nonsense that we did. Everybody had the same course conditions. Everyone had pretty much accepted that there was no way we were going to PR that day. But I think everyone was just happy that we made it. We all made it across the finish line, and that none of us were actually injured.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's a pretty good accomplishment.
I would say it's a really good accomplishment. Did the race go how I wanted? No, but I still finished. I can say I did it. I mean, there's not many people that run a 55K. Yeah, I would say looking at it that way, it was a good day.
So, in short, to answer the question, how was your run today? My run was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I am so incredibly proud. Thanks.
Well, huge congratulations to everyone, Natasha, Riley, Dan, and you, Brian Gould. This is an unbelievable accomplishment, and thank you so much for creating that audio tapestry, because I wasn't there, but now I feel like I too ran an ultra, and now I don't need to because I've gotten the gamut of emotions. No, that's unbelievable. That's to have the during and the after and the perspective and the experience. And it's amazing how much your experiences across the four of you are similar, but nuanced. Everyone runs their own race, of course. But this one sounds especially challenging because of the miscalculation and the change, and the heat does not sound fun at all.
Yeah, and yet it was still a great experience.
Sure.
You know, I got to, I also want to give a shout out to, of course, Corinne, the Running Unicorn, and Esteban, a member of November Project Boston, who also completed the 50K with all of us.
Tremendous.
And all of the things that Riley and Natasha and Dan said happened to me, and I came away with the same exact sentiments, and I had the same exact experiences. Different parts of the course at different times. I couldn't take in enough food, even though I was loving the boiled potatoes and salt and pickles, of all things. They were amazing, but I didn't eat enough. Yeah, so at about, I don't know, mile 18 or 19, the 50K and the 25K races sort of converged, because it was overlapping loops out in the woods.
Sure.
So you could see through the woods, oh, there's another part of the race. And I saw Andrea at one point, because she was doing 25K.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we got together. She was running. I was walking at that point. And she said, you know, I'm not even sweating. And that immediately triggered something in me. And I reached under my armpits, completely dry, forehead completely dry. And I'm thinking, it's like 78 degrees and humid. I've been drinking liters and liters of water out of my backpack. I should be pouring sweat.
Yes, you should.
Like in a summer day when I go for a run, there's sweat pouring down my face. I can barely see.
Within minutes. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and for the whole run.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it took me 15 miles to figure this out.
Yikes.
But I realized, obviously, something is wrong. My hands were swollen to bizarre proportions. But, you know, your hands swell during a long race,
no
matter what.
Sure.
But it was the no sweating. And I said, Andrea, I think we are
deeply dehydrated.
And we need to take in salt also. So they had salt tablets, and I basically, each aid station I went to, I took some salt tablets, and I started even drinking more.
And we doing water? Are we doing Gatorade or a mix or nothing?
Everything.
Yeah.
I was doing Gatorade the whole time. I had water in my backpack, which was, I don't know, 2 liters, I think. And I think I filled that up 3 or 4 times during the race.
Okay.
But what I started doing was every time I slowed down to a walk, I just started drinking water constantly. And finally, after maybe 20 minutes or so after that, and then throughout the rest of the race, I started sweating again. So I had whatever had to happen. I hit that. Maybe I wasn't taking in the water.
Well,
I don't know.
So let me ask you that, though, because when I did my last Boston, there was a threat of it being super hot, and it ended up being pretty hot.
Yes.
And the day before, they said, go out of your way and drink so much more water that your tissue feels overly full.
Like
overall, you're bloated.
Yeah.
And so I went into that race pretty bloated, and it was necessary because holy cow.
Yeah.
Do you feel you got yourself the day before, the night before, the morning of, to that bloated state, or do you think you were underhydrated?
I wasn't underhydrated. I was probably properly hydrated for what I thought the conditions were going to be.
But you didn't realize how hot it was going to be.
Right. And I also thought, and this is getting into a little technical weed stuff, but I guess that's what we're talking about
sure.
these days. I thought because the race was starting at 8 o'clock and I knew I was going to start off slow. I didn't know, you know, I've had this lingering left leg issue that it was either going to behave or it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, it's going to take me a while to get in my groove anyway. I will drink a lot and eat a lot in the first 5-10 miles.
Sure.
And be ready to go. Now, I did eat breakfast. I shoved as much food in my face as I possibly could. I ate 2 bananas, I think, in addition yep. to peanut butter sandwiches. Yep. And I was drinking water. But the thing was, it got hot immediately.
Okay.
So
okay.
There was no way to fill while we were running.
Right.
We were
there was no buildup to it. You were already there.
So I started in a deficit, and it didn't make it to the thing, but it didn't make it into this cut. But Dan told me he also started hungry. Because
Ooh, God.
We got there, we set up
sure,
our stuff.
Sure, of course.
Thinking we had plenty of time. And then, you know, it was like suddenly the bell went off to go gather for the start. And I think all of us, certainly Dan and I, were like, oh, I could use another 45 minutes here.
Yeah.
And once I got hydrated again, of course, this is like 20 miles in or so, I started feeling better. And it was really long and it was hard. And having that thing in the back of your mind where you didn't actually know how long the race was going to be.
Right, right.
Because you kept hearing whispers that, oh, somebody else is out and they've run 34 and they don't know how far they are from the finish. Or, you know, they're at 32 and they're in the middle of the woods.
Oh, man.
Now, for me, it wound up being okay because I was probably 45 minutes or an hour behind everyone else we heard.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time I got there, they had really gotten it down. And he said, what's your mileage? I told him my mileage. He said, go that way. I did a whatever, 4 miles, 5 miles to do it. And my watch went off at 31 miles, which is actually a little short of a 50K, but whatever. I mean, you know, a few feet short of a 50K.
Sure, sure.
While I was in the finishing chute. So okay. I ran my 31 miles.
I got it.
I'm very happy with it.
Sure,
I'm
of course.
Super proud.
Oh
I
God.
Actually ran across the finish, and the last 5 miles were actually good. They were hard.
Yeah.
But I had gotten to a point where I knew I was going to finish the whole time.
Yeah.
I never at this point never at any point in the 7+ hours I was out there did I think I can't finish.
It sounded like Dan went through a little bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, he was pushing a pretty, none of the people that you heard, myself, Natasha, Riley, or Dan, had ever run an ultra before.
Oh my gosh, you guys were all first timers?
Dan had never run a marathon before. He'd never run anything more than a 25K.
Holy cow.
Riley, in training, everybody had
wow.
run
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, no, but that's different.
Natasha has run marathons. None of us have ever run an ultra.
Wow, that's humongous,
especially a trail ultra. And you know, the course and the day are going to throw things at you that in a road race you never ever expect.
No.
You know, I've run a bunch of trail runs and obviously in races, but the distance was all crazy
and
it was all new.
Too.
So, I got down on myself a few times, like when the guy who was hiking with a backpack kept passing me. Because I could barely move.
Yeah, sure.
But at the same time, I looked around. It was so achingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And everybody was having a hard... You know, you hear these stories. We're all having hard times. And anytime you ran into somebody, you talk about it, and you felt a little better. The aid station workers were amazing volunteers to be out there all day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're so nice. Everything... It was really well stocked. Interestingly, no products. Like, no
goos
or... no... honey stingers, none of that stuff. It was all actual food.
I like that.
Yeah, it was good. Although I miscalculated poorly, and I thought I had really planned out both hydration and food, and I just need to take in a lot more calories prior to the race and a lot more calories in the first 2 hours.
The biggest thing I walked away from that audio was Dan's point, and it's well taken, which is... what's worse, than being nauseous and vomiting is being nauseous and not vomiting.
Oh, that just is, holding that.
Or just that feeling of like, I know I'd feel better if I did, and you don't because you're so wrecked. And you're using your body a certain way that you just can't.
Right.
That's tremendously awful.
Well, and going to exactly Natasha's story of having a conversation out with her legs.
Say, let's go.
That happened to me. Yeah. After I actually let Andrea go. I said, Andrea, you clearly can still run. You run. Let me deal with this.
Sure.
And maybe I'll catch up. And I did. And I saw her on another cutback.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually ran up to her and caught up. And then we jogged for a little while. It was wonderful. So she really helped out a lot during those periods. And I'm glad I saw her exactly when I did, because that's when I needed a boost. But there were, in that time, I'm looking at a trail, and it was actually a flat part. Broad dirt road, trees, weather, frankly, unless it's a race, gorgeous.
Of course.
And I thought, I'm walking. All I want to do is run down. Forget the race. This is perfect conditions for just jogging down the road or running down a trail road. And I'm like,
sure.
Come on, legs.
Just do it.
And that was probably the lowest point.
Yeah, but what hour were you in?
Oh, probably hour five.
Yeah.
And, but by that point, I was starting to get my nutrition and fluids back, and I had promised myself I had one escape valve.
Yes,
Peter, and this is probably one of the most important things that happened. I kept my Mighty with me, the Mighty Spotify player.
Oh, very nice.
In my backpack.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not going to listen to any music or podcasts. I'm in a race. It's a social experience.
Keep your ears open. I want to be in it.
Ears open. I want to be in it. And I was in it. And I said, the only exception is going to be if it's deep, deep, deep in the race.
Sure.
I'm all alone in the woods.
And I need that trigger. I need that spike.
And I'm really tired and I need something. And that's exactly what happened. I looked. Boom. I stopped on the trail, looked behind me, looked forward.
Nobody there.
No one anywhere. And there wasn't going to be anyone for minutes and minutes. I was actually convinced that I was the last person in the race because, you know, you're in a pod and you see people back and forth and you pass them and they pass you. Well, I wasn't passing anybody, but you see them at aid stations and things like that.
Sure.
I wasn't seeing anybody.
No.
So I put it in. Hamilton soundtrack.
Oh.
Awesome.
That'll do it.
Listened to it for like an hour. Just totally brought me back. And immediately I was able to start running again. I mean, it was that just little boost. It
sometimes
brought me it just brought me out of whatever I was in, and I started running.
Sometimes the beat does it. Gets those legs, something changes. It's great.
It was amazing. And like I said, you know, last 10 miles, but especially last 5 miles was, you know, it wasn't easy.
No.
But I felt good about it. And crossing that finish line was just amazing. And then we just sat down in the grass and ate food and, you know, talked about it.
Did you strap on the feed bag?
Strap on your feed bag. Come and get it.
Of course I did.
Oh.
They had a whole, you know, buffet of homemade foods. Again, nothing.
Did I see a picture of hot dogs?
Like, I did. There's a thing in Maine, you know, the red hot dogs.
Oh, sure.
And so I had, you know, that's a little summertime
just
treat.
One. Would you have one?
No, I had two red hot dogs and then some, ton of potato salad.
Oh my God, potato salad.
And then I don't even know what else I put on there.
Who knows?
Fruit, certainly brownies.
Bread.
And Shipyard Beer was there.
Oh,
and they
gave
you a couple cans of free beer.
That's nice.
And so it was just that. It was just relaxing and getting your body back to equilibrium. And I will say also that the last half of the race, my left leg, which was the problem child,
sure,
I must have just beat it into submission because it didn't hurt at all.
You worked it through. Got it past.
It's totally non-intuitive.
Yes.
But it's like, just do way more than you should, and sometimes your body reacts
just
well.
Just keep using it.
Also, brand new shoes that I bought the day before.
Brooks?
No, these were my trail shoes are Hoka's Speed Goats. I've had a pair before.
Okay.
And no problems. Zero problems with them.
Very good.
So I'm like Chris Heisler. I am now down with, if necessary, wearing brand new shoes for race day.
Fascinating.
What else do I have to say? Slept well for days afterwards. And didn't feel terrible.
No adverse, really.
No adverse. You know, I didn't have, huge pain. I was tired. My body was tired and sore, but I would hope so. Much like going on a very long hike, I felt good. Felt really good. I would highly advise anybody to go out and do a trail ultra anytime.
Well, it's on my list.
Can I give you one last crazy story, and that's it?
Well, there's no way for me to stop you, so go ahead.
Once they send me on my additional loop, and you're hearing all through the woods, I'm running 34 miles. I'm trying, and people are literally, I'm going out, and people are coming back the other way saying, that's it. I'm going back to the finish. I've run enough. People are second-guessing the instructions they're getting.
Right, because they know their mileage on their watches or whatever, and they're saying, I'm good.
Thankfully, I hadn't studied the course map deeply enough to know where I was.
So you didn't care. You just said, I'm going.
Whatever they're telling me to do, I'm going to do. So we get to a point where I was running with two women at this point, and we hit a crossroads.
Yes.
And the trail said, go around this big field. And the field's hilly, so you can't actually see the trail. You can't say, oh, it just goes around that field. It might go off into the woods for 10 miles.
So it's just the trail. You don't know.
You just see a trail. And one woman who was at like 31 miles says, that's it. I'm going to turn back to that aid station, get directions back to the start. I think we're only a mile away. And I was at 29 miles or so. And I said, I think I'm going to do the loop. And another woman who is around where I am, she said, I'm going to go back with her. And at that moment, my friend, Dwayne, who I play Ultimate Frisbee with, who I have to tell you this whole story, almost randomly entered the lottery for the Leadville 100 race.
Of course.
And got in.
Oh, my God.
So suddenly he's training for one of the hardest 100-mile races in history.
Okay.
And so this is like a training run for him. He's run the 50-miler.
All right.
So I tried to hook up with him that day and blah, 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 blah.
You've not seen him?
No. And at that point, he says, Brian, Dwayne.
Coming at you or coming up behind you?
I don't know. He just appeared.
Okay.
And when I told this story after the race, people were like, you didn't really see Dwayne.
Was he there?
And Dwayne said, I said, Dwayne, how long is this loop they're telling us to go around the field? He's like, it's like 1K. Don't worry about it. Do the loop and you'll be fine.
Okay.
And I said, okay, how are you doing? And he just looked at me. This guy's really fit.
Yes, yes.
He's very fit.
Super fit.
He just leans on his hands on his knees and says, I'm so tired.
Oh my gosh. Had he finished?
No. He was at about maybe 35 miles.
Oh.
No, maybe 40. Oh. He still had a lot to go.
Oh my gosh.
He had about 10 miles left to go at that point.
So he was doing the 50 miler?
Correct.
And you were doing the 50K?
Correct, which is 31 and change.
And he's training for the Leadville
100.
100.
Yeah.
And he really was there?
Yes.
Okay.
I have confirmed that.
Holy cow.
But it was also a great boost.
Oh, sure, of course. You know?
To see a friendly face at that point.
Oh my gosh, a familiar face at that minute.
And we probably spent 4 minutes, these other runners and I,
discussing.
We have no brain. We have no ability to.
It's way past anything. Yeah.
You literally need someone to turn you in a direction and push, and you just go that.
Yeah.
And that's what I got from Dwayne.
Yeah.
So the other runners went their way, and I went my way and came back.
He gave you the quick little spark of just, it's over there, just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Go ahead.
And I did. And I finished. Not long after that, happily.
All right. Well, thank you for that accomplishment and for the accomplishment of producing that nice audio package, Brian.
Thank you.
I had nothing to do with that. I got to sit here and listen to that in real time like everybody else. You're a jack of all trades, and I'm humbled by you. Thanks so much for coming. Hey.
Peter. Peter. Now, you've heard all about me.
No, we're good. Okay, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
I know you started running not too long ago. Do you have any news that you want to share with the HWYRT community?
I mean, if you're really going to ask, here's the scoop. Huge thanks again, Emily Saul, getting my mind right. I have been feeling the good vibes and staying positive and coming back to the world of running, as you know. And last week, I was out there for a quick 3-miler, and it was a beautiful day, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And at mile 3, I've been doing a series of run walks, actually. So it's 3 and a smidge miles, trying to build up my stamina again.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to go. And I had come out of a 5-minute run, come off of a downhill, went into a plateau, decided to walk for a mile or two, for a minute or two. And I was listening to some music. And when the beat came back the way I wanted it, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to just finish out the smidge here with a run. Took a step or two and felt and heard my right knee make a sound, do a thing. And it made me stop. And I had to get over to the side and just sort of stay out of the way of the path. And I wasn't sure what it was. I think in the back of my mind I knew what it was. But it was definitely mechanical, and it made it impossible for me to continue to run. I was able to move a little bit, and I, you know, walked home and just spent the day icing the knee and drinking a lot of water and ibuprofening and thinking about some things. And I refused to go online. I refused to WebMD this because I was like, come on, knees are weird, right?
They are.
And we often talk about crankles and cringe knees and all that. Right. I'm like, is this just a weird muscle pull? What is this? But I was very disconcerted by the sound I heard. And it, and when I say I heard it, I mean it was an auditory sound.
Yeah.
And I felt it travel up from my knee into my right ear. Like I heard this thing, whatever it was.
Wow, okay.
I felt and heard it.
I mean, I know you said that to me because you called me that day or you texted me.
Yeah.
And I must have just discounted the fact that you heard it because you asked me and I said, how bad is the swelling? And you said, it's not.
Oh, there was no swelling. There really was not.
And to me that, you know, I've blown out my knee.
Sure, sure.
And I thought, well, if you've done something bad.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, no.
It would blow up like a balloon.
Yeah, no. And when I say the sound, it was like a loud knuckle cracking.
Wow.
It was like really out there. And it was like, okay. And I knew it was a little bit more than just the average thing. I was like, all right. I'll take it easy. And I kept it chilled. That was the long weekend. That was the weekend you were running your ultra. And so it was the long weekend. So I had 3 days of just not doing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I kept it elevated. I kept icing it because that ice never hurts, man. I don't know if it helps, but it doesn't really hurt. Again, there was no swelling. There was no discoloration. I was able
to. So all signs point to by Monday, you should be feeling pretty good.
And I wasn't.
Right.
I was like, huh. And it would definitely, the most painful it would be rolling over in bed. Whenever the inside part of my right knee, when I say inside, I mean the part that points to the other leg, not the back. Mm-hmm. It was just really painful.
And that's not a good sign.
Right. And so I, you know, made an appointment with a knee specialist. I saw them a couple days later. They thought they knew exactly what it was, but they said it's either going to be a meniscus tear, which is what social media guru Anna Brooks had researched for me, because I would I refused to look at the web. So I said, just hear
not
my symptoms.
Not a bad plan.
Here are my symptoms. Here's what I think it is. She asked me a series of questions. She sort of diagnosed it early on. This guy sort of confirmed, but said, let's get an MRI to confirm, because it could also be a stress fracture.
You don't want that either.
You don't want that either, but I didn't feel it. He was almost sure. Got the MRI. Confirmed it this week. Yeah, definitely a torn meniscus on the left side of my right knee. A decent size one, too, to the point where it requires a little bit of surgery.
Okay.
So this time next week, I'll have had the surgery. We're going to just get in there, snip it, because it's a flap. This thing broke. The flap of the meniscus is the thing that's dislodged and under other stuff.
That's causing the pain?
The pain. That is the piece. I said, oh, so you take that and you restitch it? He goes, no, that's gone. You're done. I said, but don't I need that? He's like, yeah, you needed it, but it's gone now. You don't get to have that.
Okay.
I said, won't that hurt later on? He said, yeah, in 30, 40 years, when it rains, that's going to really hurt.
And a lot of things are going to hurt.
That's just the way
it
is.
30 years, yeah.
He said, but for the kind of tear it was, had it been smaller, maybe just physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
No surgery. But he's like, no. With this is going to be an easy thing, and you're going to be so much happier after it's done. So it's pretty quick surgery, all things considered. Mm-hmm. It's still surgery. It's serious. You got to take it seriously. But I'm excited and positive about it, and I've been trying to stay positive for the last week and a half because it's something that's really solvable. It's not another 6 months of whatever. This is quick surgery, 2 weeks till full motion comes back, 6 weeks till full recovery.
Okay.
So I'll still get something out of the summer in terms of running.
Well, you'll be out of pain very soon.
Oh, almost instantly. And the weird thing is, I'm not constantly in pain.
Mm-hmm.
After I sit too long, it's not so good. If I stand too long, not so good. And certain movements, especially lateral movements, rough. But I have days, especially if it's very dry outside, it's almost not a problem. Then you have a humid day or a rainy day, and it really hurts. It's weird. It really is weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
And but I'm thankful. You know, I don't know if I'd have this attitude right this minute had I not had that session.
I think that was totally transformative.
She got my mind right really quick.
Right.
And this is not the end of the world. I'm really, really lucky of actually what it is.
Yeah.
And especially coming off a very long run on tendonitis, which is much like those people that we know, many people who suffer from the plantar fasciitis. The things that linger, the things that aren't definable, the things that aren't solvable by snipping it out or whatever it is.
Right.
That kind of pain and injury takes so much longer to offset and deal with. I'm very lucky. So, hey, man, it's all good. Man. It's all good. So that's my update. Thanks, everybody who's been asking, because a lot of people have been. I'm good. I'm going to be fine.
Well, I will say I'm glad. Your attitude is amazing. Kudos. I'm glad you're still in a good mood. I know that you'll feel much better once the surgery is done.
Can't wait.
Because that's anxiety-causing, but also you'll be out of pain immediately because the cause of the pain will be gone physically.
So great.
And the other thing is you're absolutely right. This isn't something that's going to be made worse than by returning to exercise, whereas where the tendonitis, the exercise was causing more pain or causing it to not heal, whereas for this, once it's healed...
Get back at it, man.
You're right back at it.
I'm doing it.
You're no worse for the... no worse for coming back to exercise.
And I'll say something else real quick. I mean, to be 48 years old... To do the amount of movement and running I've been doing these last 4 or 5 years, like the idea that I have had zero issue with my knee is amazing, because you hear about people all the time. Sometimes knees are the first thing, and I've been very lucky to get to middle age and not have a knee issue of any sort. So if this is the kind of thing I'm going to get thrown, I can deal with it. Come on.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on dealing with this really, really well. Not everybody could do that. I'm excited for you to get back into it.
Thank you.
I am excited for us to run again. We'll put that on the postpone, but the burrito run will finally happen.
Oh my God.
Come on, break.
You know, we should alert the people.
Yes.
That if they hear this before Saturday, June 15th,
mm-hmm.
they should come on down to the Boston Public Library, 3 p.m. on Saturday, June 15th. We're going to be showing the Run Millinocket short film made by ourselves and the great filmmaker Greg Shea, and we're doing that just before we go off to the New England Emmys, but we'll be showing that picture and we'll be taking questions and answers. We'll be taking questions, hopefully we'll be giving answers.
The nice thing about doing this prior to the ceremony is we're still potential winners.
We're all winners,
right?
And that's the theme. We're all winners. So come on out. You get to see us in tuxedos and me on crutches, and it'll be hilarious.
I'm gonna go.
That's 3 p.m. Saturday, June 15th at the Boston Public Library, the WGBH studio, where we record this little show that we call Howie's Run Today.
Hey.
Hey. This has been episode 165. I dare say it was an ultra episode of Howie's Run Today with Brian Gould, ultra running completionist.
Oh, that's true.
And Peter Villa, serial injury guy?
No.
Kinda, but I'm getting through it. It's all good.
You're all good.
I'm learning about it. Anna Brooks is our social media guru, and she's kind of like a doctor in a weird way. She's like a psychic. Andrea Bonnie Gould, who finished a 25K,
yeah,
is the artist in residence. You can join us every Saturday, Brian, on the social medias for Sat Stat Chat. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and you best include a sweet, sweet photo. And again, this coming Saturday, what day is it?
Saturday, June 15th.
Come to the Boston Public Library, watch us recording the show, and we're going to show Run Millinocket, and we'll answer your questions just before the New England Emmys.
If you can't get to the library, or you want to watch Run Millinocket on your own, or learn anything else about our show, and listen to our entire 165-episode archive, go to howwasyourruntoday.com or hwyrt.com.
They take you to the same place. They're the same thing.
It's the same thing.
But you can type less or type more depending on your fingers.
Whatever you want to do.
I hear that. Brian, enjoy your run today. I'm going to meditate.
Sounds good. I'm going to not run an ultra.
Smart idea. For today, we're all winners.
Thank you. Who's your favorite HWIRT guest?
I'm going to pick two because I don't want to follow the rules. I really enjoyed the podcast from Emily Saul and actually Unicorn Corinne Griffin. Griffith.
Griffiths.
Yeah, that one.